Hey everybody, Jim Edwards here along with Stu Smith, and welcome back to the Sales Copywriting Content Marketing Hacks Podcast. This is episode 85, where we're going to talk about your offer. And interestingly enough, when it comes to your offer, there are a couple of different ideas that people have of what is an offer. Some people say, okay, what is the offer? Meaning is that what's the offer stack? What are all the things that they're going to get? Other people, when you say an offer, they're thinking in terms of what is the thing? What is the payoff that I'm going to get? What is the big idea really is the offer? Some people think of your offer as your USP. It's not, but some people think of it as that unique selling proposition. But before we get started, so what's up, Stu? How are you?
I'm good. Talked
to you in a week.
I'm good. Excellent.
Been enjoying the humidity?
Yes, sweating profusely.
That's right. And with absolutely no evaporation whatsoever. So now I have all the water that was in me is now on me, making me feel like I'm wearing a wet suit, literally. So let's talk about offer and what kind of an offer should you make. And so we're actually going to address those two things. We'll talk about first your offer as in the big idea that you are selling. And then we'll talk about your offer as in the individual parts and what you should do or what you should try to include depending on what you're selling or how you're selling it. So the first thing when you talk about your offer, as far as the big idea, is that the big idea really needs to encapsulate a couple of things. It's the what am I going to get and why is this a cool solution compared to other stuff that I might buy with my money or other methods that I might use to get that result. And so using the example of Stu and Stu's business or what Stu sells, you know, Stu's first book was the complete Navy SEAL guide to, or the, what's the title of it?
Yep. Complete Guide, Navy SEAL Fitness.
To Navy SEAL Fitness.
Yeah.
And it was written by a Navy SEAL. So therefore, if you want to become a Navy SEAL, you probably ought to read the book on how to get in shape to be a Navy SEAL. And the only person that's qualified to write that book is someone who was or is a Navy SEAL. So you see how it all comes together with the stuff we've talked about before when we talked about your knowledge or experience in the marketplace. It really would not make sense to buy a book about how to get in shape to try and go through BUDS from somebody who does jazzercise videos. It's just not gonna, I mean, they might sell a couple, but it's just not going to jibe. But the big idea here is, the big result is, I wanna get this result. Here's somebody who, based on their knowledge and experience, is someone who's gonna be able to help me with it. And what makes it unique too, is that it's somebody who has been there and done that, what you want to do. So it's got several layers to it. But then when you look at, like, when Stu does other offers for like the FBI Academy thing or the Army Ranger thing, you might think to yourself, well, then your analysis falls flat because he wasn't in the FBI or he wasn't an Army Ranger. Did you go to Ranger school?
Nope. Didn't have to.
Yep. But like the airborne one you do, you went to airborne school.
Yeah.
Did you do a bunch of jumps while you were in the Navy SEALs or?
Yeah, it was like 50 or 60, like 55, I think. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So obviously you're qualified to teach people how to do the airborne school workout thing. But ultimately anybody who wants to go to the FBI Academy or the Police Academy, what makes it unique is, hey, I want to go be a police officer. I want to be in the firefighter. I want to go to the FBI Academy. And here's a Navy SEAL who's going to teach me how to get into shape. Obviously, a Navy SEAL is going to know how to get into shape for these other things, which aren't going to be as hard as being a Navy SEAL, at least in people's minds.
Plus, I train those guys. So,
plus you train those guys. Yeah. So, you know, the offer has got to make sense. It's got to be unique, and it's got to make sense that it's coming from you. This is where we kind of bring together the last few episodes that we've been doing. It's really that offer is the confluence of your knowledge, your experience in the market. where the people look at that and they go, you know, it makes total sense to buy this from somebody. Jesse says she's supposed to be in jazzercise class right now. That's fine, Jesse. That's fine.
Nothing wrong with jazzercise.
Jazzercise being taught by Stu Smith might not be a good class. No, I can tell you that now.
Do you have rhythm? No.
No rhythm. And I doubt he looks good in a leotard.
Yeah.
So
sure I don't.
Or those silky shorts that I've seen those guys doing the jazzercise stuff. So the point, though, is that your offer from the big idea thing just has to make sense. And so, for example, like Jessie sells, or she does Facebook training for chiropractors. Well, it makes sense that she does that because she helps run her husband's chiropractic business. So she's the one that's responsible for bringing people through the front door. So nice. It makes perfect sense for her to be doing that, as opposed to someone who knows how to do Facebook ads who just happens to say, oh, chiropractors are a good market. Let me target chiropractors. It could make sense if you went and found some chiropractors and did it for them and said, hey, look, I know how to do this. I want to do this for you. I want to build up my case studies. And then once you have those case studies, then it makes sense. Hey, I did this for local ones. Now I can help anybody do that anywhere. So the offer just has to make sense. And we're all relatively intelligent, okay? Mm-hmm. You know when an offer doesn't make sense to be coming from you, or the positioning of it, or it doesn't make sense with somebody else. It would not make sense, honestly, even though I've had people tell me, Jim, you should do some kind of a workout thing. I'm like, why would I do that? That's what Stu does. That's not me. I'm just the formerly fat guy that now does what Stu tells me and stuff.
Yeah, you're my poster child.
It does. For what not to do. Just because you can doesn't mean you should when it comes to an offer. There's a lot of offers that I could make that I could do, but it doesn't mean that I should. Could I teach people how to make software? Yes. Should I? Not really. It's not my thing. The one that I didn't see, though, like Stu says, you know, when we talked on the Jim and Stu show live on Facebook, talking about getting inspiration, sometimes you don't know where inspiration is going to come from. I never thought that I would have a book about copywriting. Even 5 years ago, I never would have thought that I would have had a book about copywriting. But when I looked back at all the sales letters that I wrote and all the people I trained on how to sell the things that I was teaching them how to make with multimedia products and video courses and eBooks and mini sites and all that stuff, it actually made perfect sense for me to do that because I figured out a way to teach people how to do it super fast and to get really good results. So sometimes the perfect offer is so obvious in front of your face, you need other people to help you understand or see what your offer might ought to be. If that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Any thoughts, Stu?
Yeah, absolutely. I will say this. When you first told me it is more about sales copy and, you know, and the offer combined in there, what I am selling, it should not be what it is. It's what it does.
Right.
Right. That is where I have completely changed the way I write offers now, you know, to make sure that, you know, whatever I'm selling, it's just not a book about calisthenics and cardio, right? Yeah. It is a book that allows you to reach your goals without, right. Wow.
Sorry. That's my, nice. That's my politically incorrect ringtone that should not have come through. I don't do not disturb, but there you go. Proceed. Yeah,
that happens. It's not what it is. It's what it does, right? My book about calisthenics and cardio is, you know, I would not write, hey, it's push-ups and sit-ups and pull-ups and right. and running, right? It's a program that allows you to reach your goals whenever you cannot make it to a gym and you have no equipment whatsoever, you know, right. because you're so
That's
busy
the result.
You're scared of, you know, getting sick, you know, that's what it, What it does.
That's what it does. That's the result. This is a proven system to get and stay in great shape if you can't or don't want to go to a gym and don't have any equipment other than yourself and a pair of sneakers.
Right.
That's a hell of a result.
When we think about offers, you know, you really need to remember that one line. I do that for everything I write now. It is what it does.
So what it does, not what it is.
Yes.
And the thing is, with that thing, even when the gyms do start opening up again, you can say, hey, look how much time you'll save. Let's say you drive to the gym takes 20 minutes. Let's say it takes 20 or 30 minutes to get to the gym. Then it takes another 10 minutes to find a place to park, get in, find a locker, get changed, get your stuff together, lock your stuff up, go see that the machine you want to use is in use by somebody else. So you loiter around, hope they'll get the hell off. They're sitting on the machine looking at their phone, and finally you ask, hey, can I get in some reps? I'm almost done. God, I want to bitch slap somebody when they do that. And then you want to, and then you're sitting there. So it ends up being 90 minutes to 2 hours to get in 35 to 40 minutes worth of working out. Heck, the time that you would have spent driving there and back, you could get a really good workout in and get a shower and get on with your day. Plus, not to mention saving hundreds in gym fees and all the gas you burn. So doing this is great for the environment, great for your health, and great for your time. Gives you more time to spend with your family.
That's what it does.
Right.
Love it.
And that's important.
Yeah. So part of your offer.
Exactly. That's your selling what it does, not what it is. So as far as we've talked about the offer, the big idea of the offer. So now mechanically, what should an offer entail? And there's a bunch of different ways to look at this. There's a bunch of ways to make it more complicated than it needs to be.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of ways to make this just feel like you want to rip your eyeballs out with a blunt spoon, or you can just think about it simply. What you're selling is the result. So there's always the one single biggest payoff, or I call it the elephant in the room, the thing that they need to do. That's the core of your offer right there. So if it's learning how to do calisthenic workouts, then the book, the main part of the book is here's all the stuff you can do. And then remember, I asked you, or maybe it was on the live show, I said, hey, now what about people with different skill levels? And you said, oh yeah, I that's fine. I got divided up into three parts. I got beginner, intermediate, and advanced, or, you know, fat, medium, and small. It's whatever, you know, you can do. And so that's the first objection that people are going to have is, what's the biggest objection somebody's going to have to my product or to my offer? And in this case, it revolves around skill, time, or money. Those are the three biggest ones. All right. So skill, I'm not in good shape. Okay. Well, no problem. I've got beginner stuff. I got intermediate. I got advanced. So I've got the book divided up this way. No problem. So in your product, how could you address a skill issue? Okay. The next, you know, so skill, time, money, resources are the four big ones. And money and resources are pretty closely related sometimes, but sometimes not. So skill, time, money, resources. So time, how long is this going to take? How long is it going to take for me to get results? Time really has two issues when we're talking about here. It's how long is it going to take me to get results, and how long is it going to take me to implement what you are giving me? So, you know, that's why a 12-hour course, you might, man, it's got 12 hours of videos in it. You're thinking like, that's a good thing. And the person you're trying to sell this to is like, 12 hours of videos? Holy crap. Can't you teach me a little quicker than that? So it's like, those are the two issues you got to address. I can show you how to get results in an afternoon. Well, does that mean it's an afternoon to go through the course, or it's an afternoon to implement what you're telling me to do? It's a fine line, but again, that's something that you have to address the time on both of those issues. All right. So skill, time. What was the second one? What was the third one?
Money, resources.
Skill, time, money. Okay. how much is this going to cost? And what you need to do is make sure that you're showing them how, as part of your offer, it's like one of the things that I learned and that really pushed my sales over the top with my early for sale by owner book, and also with my mortgage product, Tender Little Secrets of Mortgage Financing, was I learned a lesson from a guy named Marlon Sanders, who said, take your competitor's USP and include it as a free bonus with your offer. So what he meant was, whatever they're selling, see if you can give somebody that'll give them the same, take something, find something, create something that will get people that same result, so they don't have to go buy from your competitor. So one of the things that was holding me up was people were spending money on mortgage amortization software. And so what I did was say, hey, look, when you buy my Tender Little Secrets of Mortgage Financing, I will give you a mortgage amortization prepayment calculator that I'll just give it to you. So that'll save you $40. So the money you save just pays for the course you're going to buy from me.
Nice.
And sales immediately went up, and I found a piece of shareware. It was a shareware mortgage amortization thing. I just found it could give it away. It was just as good as the stuff people were charging for. So again, when it comes to money, you got to show people how this is going to save them money, or you need, as part of your offer, what can you include to save them money? So another example, I created a course on how to create multimedia info products. And I, one of the things that I was showing people how to do at the time was to record MP3s. And so we also wanted to have people add music and mix tracks and do all these things. It was pretty sophisticated. Even now, you know, doing multi-track mixing for MP3s and stuff, I mean, you can do it with Camtasia, but Camtasia costs $300. And there were other products that weren't that good. Long story short, I was selling a course for $500. I went and found a piece of software that was really cool. And instead of saying, hey, I'll demo this and you can go buy it, I contacted the developer of the software, and I said, how much, just out of curiosity, how much would you charge me for 100 licenses for your software? And I think it was $79. And he said, $10 a piece. I said, okay. Let's see, I can spend $10 and then I can make $500? Let me do that. So that was part of my thing, was I started removing all these expenses that people thought they'd have to absorb as a result of getting my course. You know, you don't have to go buy this because I went and licensed you a copy of it. You don't have to do this because I'm going to show you how to do this. I'm going to, all these things, that all of a sudden I removed all these money expenses that people were worried about, either by minimizing them or eliminating them. When you get my course, you won't have to do this, 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 and this. So, and the funny thing with that was, I only sent people the code when they asked for it, and half the people never asked for the code. So it ended up only costing me $5 a person on average instead of 10. That was nothing.
Wow.
Skill, time, money, resources. So the other thing that people are worried about is there's going to be some sort of a resource, some sort of a thing they think they need to have. So let's use the example of somebody somebody selling a product on how to write an ebook or something. And people say, okay, I don't have money to spend on Facebook ads, or I don't know how to run Facebook ads, or I don't know how to do something. I don't have friends with big lists. I don't have a bunch of affiliates. Whatever that objection is around some sort of resources, or I don't have a big advertising budget, or I don't have a big network, or I don't have a $10,000 home studio like you do. So obviously I can't do this. So you eliminate that by adding stuff to your offer, like, okay, I'm going to show you how to go find people to sell your book for you. I'm going to show you how to use social media to sell your books without spending a dime on Facebook ads. I'm going to show you how you can use your smartphone to create a $10,000 studio right inside your house to be able to even create courses using your smartphone and nothing else.
Nice.
There's all kinds of when you look at the offer as not just this is what I'm going to sell you, but this is what you need and this is what you're concerned about, then all of a sudden I'm going to put the right things in there that are eliminating objections and getting you more and more excited about all the things you're going to get. Now, you might say, well, Jim, I just want to sell a $29 ebook. I'm not going to add all these things. Well, then you're stupid because you want to sell people and you want to get people to actually get excited about buying from you. I'll give you an example of 7-day ebook, my 7-day ebook. You get the book, but you also get these bonuses. All right. Free report, how to take every major credit card on the planet. Because people are like, how am I going to process payments? You also get my killer ebook title wizard, because one of the things, how do I come up with a cool title for a book? Got you covered. I got my ebook description wizard. Why? Because this will help you come up with an amazing description for your book. Also, I have a report, 10 ways to have your ebook done by next Friday. It's not even a report. It's actually an incredible two-part webinar series that will sell for at least $97, but you can get it. So if you're worried about, hey, I don't want to write my book over the next 7 days, great. I'll tell you 10 different ways that you can create one. So I've added all that stuff to something that I'm selling for $29. But if you look at it, I'm eliminating the objections of, I don't know how to take money. I don't know how to sell it. I don't know what would be a good title. I don't know how to write the copy to sell it. And I'm not even sure I can create the damn thing. So that's where I think people really mess up with their offers, is that they're selling what they want to sell. They're not selling what people want to buy. And what people want to buy is the result. But they may know the result that they want, but then they have all these objections as soon as they say, hey, I want to do this. But then they're like, but I don't have this, but I don't know this, but I don't have access to these things, but I don't know how to do something. There's all these things. And so in the course of your offer, you can eliminate those objections and create an offer that people be like, well, I'd be stupid not to get this. That's ultimately where you are.
Yeah. And ultimately, I guess what you want to have happen is somebody buy your product and say, I save so much money by buying this product.
Right. Right.
I hear it all the time when my wife goes shopping.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. That your wife does that too. Cause my wife does it all the time. You would not believe how much I saved. I got all these coupons, and she does that at Bed Bath and Beyond, especially. They let you use multiple coupons. You betcha, honey. So,
but yeah, that's the ultimate goal. You know, but you're getting a lot. You're giving a lot of value with someone purchasing and taking away any doubts of purchase.
Yeah, yeah.
But so, they have a shopper's high at the end of your purchase. That is good sales copy.
Yeah. So that's. You know, that's a good, that's the difference between a bad offer, a good offer, and an amazing, holy crap offer, is that your offer not only sells the result, but it also eliminates objections. And usually those objections, I mean, yes, I'm oversimplifying. I'm not oversimplifying. I'm simplifying a whole lot of BS that you have to wade through with a lot of people to reach the ultimate same conclusion. You know, overcome their objection when it comes to skill, time, money, and resources. And you're pretty far down the field and can bull your way over the finish line, touchdown, whatever, goal line. He shoots, he scores! Steve Smith, yay!
No, that was good. That was a good definition of explaining the offer. Because, you know, you have a product. That's great.
You know what? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but people are worried about these things before they pull the trigger. So, I mean, there's other stuff you can look at, you know, but really, man, I mean, just looking at hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of offers and having made countless offers myself, it's the big idea And then it's eliminating their biggest objection when it comes to skill, time, money, and resources. When you do that, it's like, and then throw in the other thing that you need to have for an offer that really is amazing. And I'll throw this out there. You know, I give credit where credit is due. My buddy Armin Morin called it the holy crap factor. Your offer has to have something that makes people look at it and go, holy crap, whether it's a feature, whether it's a component, whether it's something that it does, you know, in software, like the holy crap factor with a lot of my scripts is, hey, you fill this out, not only it'll do the script, but you click two buttons and it gives you a completely done PowerPoint. Holy crap. That's amazing. Or it pops out in a fully done, it pops out an article already formatted and done in Word. What? You're kidding me. No, it does, for real. Or, you know, you click the little blue text and it'll start rewriting itself in front of your eyes. Holy crap. That's the probably the fifth thing. That's the magic, the secret sauce, the thing that makes people go, oh, damn, it does all that and it does that. I got to have that. Holy crap. I got to have that. So that's the last little, that's the cherry on top. That's the thing that makes people talk about your offer. They're telling their friends and selling their friends on it too. Makes a difference. So that's what I got. Anything else? Do you think we covered that okay?
I think you covered it excellently.
Okay. Excellent. All righty. Well, appreciate everybody being with us. If you are not a member of the Sales Copywriting Content Marketing Hacks group on Facebook, you should be, because they were all here live today, were with us making comments and being a part of the group, asking us questions and all kinds of good stuff. So make sure you do that. If you want to get a copy of Stu's book, Calisthenics and Cardio Workouts, head on over to Stu Smith Fitness.com. Also, if you would like to get a copy of Copywriting Secrets, we still have some copies available. You head on over to copywritingsecrets.com. You can get a free copy of the book, a free physical copy of the book. All I ask is that you just pay a small shipping and handling to prove you're serious about taking action. Because, I mean, if I pay for the book and I pay for the shipping, people would take advantage of me, and that's not really nice. You wouldn't do that. I know you wouldn't do that, but some people would. That's why I have to ask for the shipping and handling. But anyway, pick up a copy of that. I'm Jim Edwards.
Stu Smith.
And everybody have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye, everybody.